Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Kevin Hunter, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Gimbal. Kevin, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Karen. Glad to be here.
So there's a lot going on in the world of Gimbal and beacons, and I thought we could talk about a couple of interesting topics that you guys are making news around. So let's start with a recent release that I thought was very interesting, and that was all about your firmware licensing capability or solution that now basically enables any BLE device to act as a gimbal beacon. I'm curious to know how that works and what makes that so significant.
Yeah, we're very excited by it. What we've done is basically, as you remember, we make some very good hardware and very good beacons today, and they're used in very marquee customers. But we also found that a lot of our firmware that resides on that beacon has a lot of unique and incremental and differentiated value. And so we've been asked by our partners is that could you make that firmware available to us, to our customers, so they could actually integrate it into new products or existing products that already had Bluetooth controllers or BLE chips in them. And that way they could actually have the value of a gimbal beacon that's integrated inside of their item, their physical place, their physical thing. And what you saw was an announcement by Gimbal that we have now commercialized that product set for where our customers can license that firmware on multiple chips in multiple operating system environments and allow them to integrate that into their components. And those components are vending machines, they are, you know, ATMs, they are jukeboxes, they are things that are in our world today that have a unique value proposition associated with them or beacons that can integrate the firmware in. And that really gives us a lot of scale. What the other side of that announcement we did was with Ruckus Wireless. And as you know, they're a wireless access point company and they have some great products that they ship out globally. And we announced that our firmware is being integrated into their access points going forward. And if you think about all the access points in the world, wow, and just having those turn into beacons that give you hints of that physical world around you so you can engage with it better.
So that sounds like a really exciting development. Obviously gives Gimbal a lot of opportunity to scale, but also those customers the opportunity to beaconize, you know, existing, what you call firmware. I would call them points of access or, you know, even new points of interaction that consumers are engaging with. Why are those retailers or those venues so interested in that particular capability?
I mean, what we found is across all the different verticals is that they're all trying to find ways to make that experience better when we're there, as customers or users or consumers, when we're at a place, be it a venue, be it a retailer, be it at a hotel, be it a transportation authority or airport. They're all trying to make sure that we can get the most out of the experience when we're there. And some of the ways to do that, actually knowing that you're there, and beacons help basically allow an application to be able to give you an enhanced experience because you're inside of it. And we're seeing that they want to be able to engage with their customers better and their users better and give them something for being there.
So one of the things that I think is a corollary to what we're just talked about is your perspective on digital ownership and what you call a digital ownership model. Talk to us a little bit about that, your position, your posture on who owns the data that your beacons enable and capture, and how merchants are enabling beacons through the digital ownership model that you make possible.
Yeah, that's a great topic because one of those differentiators in the firmware that's being licensed into all these points of interest is basically that digital ownership component. And what digital ownership is to us is that if you buy a beacon or you integrate firmware into your component to make it a beacon, that you should own that engagement with your customers when they're at your place. And so you should decide who should have access to that, which application. There are many beacons out there today that are just in the clear, which means that when you bought a beacon and you basically installed the beacon, you can physically hold it, you can physically touch it, you can physically own it, but you don't digitally own it. That means you bought infrastructure for the entire world to use inside of your venue. We thought that was a bad thing. We thought it was important that the person who's buying the infrastructure that's putting it in should have control about what that experience should be for the customers, users that go to that place. And in doing so, they decide through partnerships which applications should do that. And those partnerships actually are potential new revenue models as well. What we see in retail today is that retailers will integrate our product inside of their stores. And they may have an application that may have maybe a million users. However, they want to be able to reach a much larger audience. And maybe that audience is used through a Shopping Affinity app that has 20 million users. And it's a better audience for a brand to reach the consumer inside the store. They can then share or lease or rent access to those beacons inside their store for this other application to see. And when they do so, they basically have control over the experience, as well as a new revenue model for which they can actually sell access to that beacon. Just like they sell physical planogram access, they can now sell digital planogram access to that application, and so you can rent time on that network.
Interesting. I guess it certainly is about data at the end of the day, but it is really about controlling the experience by being able to more appropriately determine who can access that beacon. Is that correct? Or that customer through that beacon?
That's right. That's right. That, you know, as a consumer first, I want to make sure that I'm protected inside the places I want to go. I don't want to necessarily be messaged because somebody else could listen to a beacon inside of a store and get random things that aren't important or necessity for my experience or my shopping trip. And by having digital ownership protection, the retailer really protects us as a consumer to make sure that we're given what we need and others aren't taking advantage of our location.
So you gave an example of how retailers are using the digital ownership model to create a better experience and perhaps even a potentially new incremental revenue model, revenue opportunity for them. Can you get more specific about how they're using some of these things to create a better engagement plus monetize that engagement as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the examples is that, you know, if a brand would like to reach a certain audience segment that goes to a certain store, is that the audience segment could be represented by a particular application. And so by leveraging that application and understanding that audience segment, that the brand can then purchase the ability to communicate with that audience inside that store. And so what they're really trying to do is make sure that they're teaming it up for the brand to be able to have the best engagement possible that potentially could influence the purchase decision.
What are some of the best practices that you're suggesting merchants follow when they're thinking about using beacons to engage their consumers?
It's a great question. First of all, is to respect the communication to the consumer. Make sure it's really warranted that you're going to communicate with them. I also see that it started out with a message being sent to us when we go to a particular place. That's where retailers started with the journey. What I think some of the most interesting things that are happening in retail right now is when the store kind of conforms to you because you're inside of it. Not necessarily a push message on your phone, but maybe it's through a loyalty program that they understand that you're in the store and they understand that you're potentially interested in a certain product, and they can actually guide that experience better because you're there. And I think that's the inverse side of what we hear a lot of people talk about, is that I want to send you a message. No, it's about really the serendipitous moment when the store kind of changes for us and becomes something that's relevant to us because we're inside of it. And I think those are those natural moments that really help to give us as consumers incremental information that actually will change the way we actually buy.
That'll be interesting to see evolve over time. I mean, I agree that I think those are the kinds of things that act as, you know, little taps on the shoulder that you get via your device that says, hey, you might be interested in this because of what you did the last time you were here or because of what you're standing in front of. And these are all things, obviously, that the merchants can mash up with the infrastructure that you provide. You know, I was going to ask you a question until you started talking about the digital ownership model as one of the things that distinguishes what Gimbal does from the other beacon providers that are in the marketplace, because you hear about so many beaconized solution providers today. I was going to ask, are all beacons the same? You provided me with one part of that answer, but what are some of the other things that you think distinguish the Gimbal beacon platform from others that are in the market?
we definitely think the security and the privacy protections of the gimbal solution are very important. And it starts really with that digital ownership, that protection for the consumer, but it also wraps through the entire platform as well. And what we see is that one of the things that sets us apart is that we're just not a beacon company. In fact, we're more of a location and proximity engagement solution than a beacon company. And what I mean by that is that, yes, beacons or proximity is one component of the overall solution that we have. However, we have additional features that really drive a better understanding of the audience before you arrive. Because if you think about understanding that audience before you arrive, that's the data set that you're going to use to make some of your very important decisions for when they are there. And so we have geofencing, macro-based geofencing, that allows you to draw basically an unlimited set of geofences around particular stores, zip codes, DMA, so you can understand your audience a little bit better before they arrive. And then that helps you really, you know, look at particular areas of interest. So when they are inside the store, you actually can communicate with them the right way. So the way I really look at this is understand your audience before they arrive, understand when they're close, understand when they're at the front door, and understand when they're inside. And each one of those data sets, if you look at it, the most important data sets are the ones before you get there, because when it's time to communicate, you had to leverage additional data to actually understand what the right message was.
That makes a lot of sense. You mentioned geofencing, and that triggered a memory. I can remember, you know, it wasn't that long ago that was the hottest thing in payments, that geofencing was in fact going to transform the experience between a consumer and a merchant, not by doing some of the things that you just described, but by enhancing the checkout experience by checking in the consumer as they entered a retail storefront. And, you know, that kind of fell off the radar, and even though there were a number of companies that tried to make a go of it. But I'm hearing a lot of people talking now about check-in being the new checkout, because technology has become a little bit more sophisticated, more consumers are used to seeing these kinds of notifications. I'm curious, what are you hearing from retailers and other solution providers about the resurgence of check-in and beacons as it relates to the payment experience?
I think that's a great question. What we're seeing is that, as you point out, geofences were the hype, and then beacons came, they were the hype. And the reality is it's not one individual technology component that makes up the entire solution. You have to have a thought process that stitches those together. Your strategy has to represent something that is both the macro plus the micro side, because as you want to check in to check out, there are many different layers of checking in that you need to actually understand before you get there. And it could be that I check into the parking lot to the front door, but at the end to check out, I've had to do something closer to the point of sale system, or closer to, if it's a coffee for remote ordering now, I've checked out before I got there, and I can just walk in to pick up, right? So the check-in is actually my checkout at that point. And I think by leveraging the technologies, what's close to me, so I can actually potentially buy remotely, and then that I've arrived to fulfill, you have both sides, the checkout to check-in. And basically what you have there is the ability to actually leverage the technologies to actually stitch together that experience for the consumer.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. Some of the use cases that I've heard people describe in brainstorming what could be possible, I think could truly transform the experience in the store. I think we all agree that to really reinvent retail, it isn't about using a phone that's a substitute for a card. It really is about doing some of the things that you just described that gives the retailer and the consumer a whole new opportunity for engagement. As we wrap up, any noticeable or noteworthy examples of your technology that's top of mind that you can describe to us, some things that are sort of interesting and also public that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. One that comes to mind is something we did with TouchTunes. Do you know who TouchTunes is?
I don't.
So TouchTunes is a digital jukebox company, and they have 70,000 plus jukeboxes in bars and restaurants. And we think about all the places we kind of go, right? And all the things we interact with when we're out and about. There are still jukeboxes, albeit a little bit different than the record ones that we, CD ones that we saw years ago, but there are digital jukeboxes there. And those are great platforms for leveraging engagements with people inside those restaurants and bars. And you can use mobile payments, mobile queuing to be able to, because you're now inside that restaurant or bar, be able to queue up music from your mobile device. So you don't necessarily have to walk up. It's part of your account. You do that. Additionally, there's fantastic digital advertising platforms as well. We can engage with your consumers that are inside these locations. Maybe it's a beverage company that wants the first drink to be on them. And maybe it's a way to actually talk about certain snacks at certain times of the day because you're in the location. And we see that they're doing some very interesting stuff by leveraging proximity location to engage with people inside restaurants and bars. That's an exciting one that we talked about. And we also had PlaceWise Media, where they're actually rolling out about 20, 27 different malls soon, and upwards of 700 over the entire rollout of different malls where they're integrated in, where they actually want to leverage that ability to, before you get into the stores and malls, that there are opportunities for that conversation or that understanding to happen so you can make that conversation better once you get to the retail store. So it really is about a network of networks working together and understanding the audience flow so you actually can find the best way to engage with them.
You've given me my homework assignments for the week. I have to go to a restaurant or bar to find TouchTunes, and it's not hard to get me into the mall. So two beacon experiences that I'm anxious to have as a part of my own personal beacon journey. Thanks, Kevin, for the opportunity to talk to you today. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Karen.